as loudly as you can. This is a Black Heritage interview for the Upper Piedmont Project. I am Yolanda Harrell interviewing Mrs. Montana Haynes in Seneca on April 26, 1990. Mrs. Haynes, what is your full name?
Montana L. Haynes.
What was your maiden name?
Perry, Montana Perry.
Montana Perry. And when were you born?
6/7/07.
June 6, 1907. That's right. Okay, and where were you born?
In the Tugelo River settlement.
Uh-huh. And where is
it? In Oconee County.
And that's in Oconee County?
Yes.
Okay. And who were your parents? What was your daddy's first name?
Will Perry. Jimmy Eberhard Perry.
So your father was Will and your mother was Jimmy. Okay. Do you know when they were born? I think you told me you didn't know that when we were doing the family tree. But do you know where they were born by any chance?
He must have been born in Tugelo. She was from Georgia.
She was from Georgia? And you think he was born in Tugelo then?
I believe he was. The Tugelo settlement.
Okay, now.
She's in Cameron, Georgia, but I don't know what county.
Uh-huh. Now, Mrs. Haynes, what were your grandparents' names? Let's talk about your father's people first, your father's father. I think you told me before that you thought his name was also Will Perry. Is that right?
I think so. Will Perry.
And you think his mother's name was Mary?
Mary Perry.
Uh-huh. And you thought that your mother, Jimmy Eberhard's father, was
named Van.
Okay. And what about
his wife named Sally.
All right, so it's Van Eberhard and Sally Oglethorpe Eberhard. Do you remember anything about any of your grandparents? Like, for instance, where were any of them born? Do you have any idea?
My mother was from Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Cannon, Georgia.
And so her people were from there?
Yeah.
Do you remember anything about your Perry grandparents when you were little? This would be your father's people.
I know about my mother.
You remember more about your mother's?
I know about all of them.
Oh, good. Well, tell me anything you can about any of them.
Well, with my mother living in Cannon, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
She once lived in Elton, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
She worked, her people worked for the McGuire of Cannon, Georgia. And the McGuire's what named me, Montana.
Oh, the people she worked for, the McGuire's, gave you the name of Montana.
Yes.
Did it come from the state, Montana? From the state.
Yes.
So you were named for the state of Montana. Was there a reason?
The only reason I figured out, her daughter was named Helena, which was a few months older than I, and they named me Montana. You know that Helena is the capital of Montana.
Right.
And I figured out here a few years ago that she named me Montana to let me know that her daughter was the ruler.
Oh. Is that what you think it is? Now, were the McGuire's, the people they worked for, were they white?
Yeah.
Okay, white. They were white. I see.
Reverend McGuire.
He was a reverend.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He was a minister.
And she would carry us to visit our grandparents. We were living in Seneca.
Uh-huh.
And we would go to see our grandparents, and once she wanted me to look very outstanding, I guess, she put a whole lot of grease on my hand. I sat by the window in the train, and the sun baked my hair so hard until she couldn't comb it when we got there.
Oh, my goodness.
She had several sisters and brothers, and they had children, but we wasn't close enough together to see each other, only just once a year.
Now, this is your mother's?
My mother.
Mother's people.
One of my aunts lived with us in Seneca.
Uh-huh.
And went to school to Seneca Institute.
She did go there. Now, go ahead.
And this aunt married and went to Jacksonville, Florida, and was the owner of a hat shop.
Oh,
they,
she...
They made hats.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. So she became a hat shop owner after that. Now, when you were talking about your, the Everhards, your mother's people, and visiting and everything, where did they live? You said they lived outside of Seneca?
You were talking about my mother?
Uh-huh.
Well, my mother lived in the state of Georgia.
Oh.
From Georgia.
Yeah. But the ones that you said you went to visit.
They were in Georgia.
They were in Georgia when you went to visit.
All Georgia people. She went to Elton, Livonian, all around us. And I asked the man the day if the little train was coming up from Elton, Georgia to the core of Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And he said yes.
And so this family McGuire that they worked for lived in Georgia, then,
yeah,
the ones that named you Montana.
Georgia.
Oh, okay. Now, when you were living with your mother and father, did they own their own home?
Yes. My mother, well, let's talk about my father's people.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me about your father's people.
My father, several brothers and sisters.
Uh-huh.
And they moved from the country, from in the Tuggeranoo settlement, Horn County, Seneca, and out a few miles from Seneca.
Mm-hmm.
They were farmers, and they managed to accumulate. All of them accumulated homes, and some had bought more land than the other. And where I'm living today, I was brought there when I was 6 months old, and I don't know. I've never had to move from house to house in Seneca.
I've
been there 82 years. If I live June 6th, it'll be 83 years.
So you'll be 83 years this June, and you have always lived on that house on Pine Street,
yes,
in Seneca. And what is the address of that house on Pine?
208
South Pine Street. And did your father build that house?
No, the house was built by Dr. Sharp's father,
mm-hmm,
which attended the school at Seneca Institute, but was first organized. The school was organized before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And my father bought the house from Dr. Sharp's father. He worked for Mr. G.W. Jenner. At that time, he was considered the richest man in Oconee County.
Mr. John Lott one?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the house at the dead end of Pine Street going north.
Uh-huh.
And that's the only house I know anything about transferring from that house to the other one. Due to the fact my father did the housework, cooked, and he worked for the gentleman.
Uh-huh.
My mother had a cotton patch all around the house,
uh-huh,
and I was too small to be in the cotton patch, and I was stayed in the house, the gentleman's house, running back and forth like a small child would do. And when they finished, they get tired of me doing that, and they would cook dinner. They had a very fancy little box that they put me in and put me under the table.
They put you in a little box and put you under the table?
Under the table, because I outgrew the box. And the first telephone ring I ever heard was at the general. And when I heard the telephone go off, I ran and told my mother that they was ringing for me to leave the house.
Oh.
And Mrs. General spent a lot of time teaching me. And she was a very good help for me. And some of the things that I do today are the things that she taught me. The first thing she taught me was to be true to myself, respect myself. She said, respect yourself and other people will respect you. It might take them a long time to do it, but they'll do it. And I have found that to be the truth. She encouraged my people to see that I went to school. And what she taught me, when I go in a place, to visualize, see the whole thing, and then go back and visualize. if I do something wrong, admit that I'm wrong, ask for forgiveness. And if I'm right, stick to it, regardless of what happened. And the guilt or honest day's work. I must say for Mr. Dunlap, all of the people that worked for him had to own homes.
Hmm.
He would see to it, and he would take it out of their payment. And I think that that's something that we all got to be proud of. And I can say that when the water and light were turned on in Seneca, why, he had them turned on in our home also.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what did your father do for Mr. Dunlap? What was the work?
My father did the housework,
uh-huh,
the yard work,
uh-huh,
and helped with the church barn.
I see.
What else? And he carried two of the children to school.
Uh-huh.
They had a mule, and they'd get to ride the mule to school. And he worked for them just as long as he could work. But he got to the place that he couldn't work. He even worked for the baby girl, Miss Adams,
uh-huh,
after she married. He worked for some of their relatives that was out of the county and couldn't get nobody to wait on them in sickness.
Uh-huh.
He worked there. And then he, after leaving the home, working and cooking and all like that, he taking care of the church lawn and the church, Presbyterian church. And he did that as long as he could put one foot in front of the other.
Mm.
And when he passed, we did not know how to say about his age, because his parents, back then parents didn't keep up with children's age. They tell you they were born when they were picking cotton, or they were born when they were planting corn.
Mm.
And our parents had to come a long way.
So you don't know your daddy's age when he died because you don't know when he was born?
No.
Okay, when
they,
you know,
but they were, I know they were up in the 90s.
They were, really, they
both
lived
of them.
Both of them lived to be in their
90s. And all my parents, all people that uh-huh passed, were closer to 90 than they were to 60.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
so they
passed 60.
Lived a good long time then.
Yeah. And they were hard-working people.
Do any of your older relatives talk about their early lives or tell you anything about themselves you could tell us?
Yes. They talk about their parents, and they were, in the end, they were leaving out of slavery.
I was going to say, did any
but
of them talk
some,
about slavery?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But now some of them wasn't, they didn't, my grandparents on both sides did not serve as slaves.
They were not slaves?
No.
Okay.
But
were their parents before them?
Yeah. And we talked about that. But the most, on both sides, my father and mother, their parents, the women were breeders for the plantation. And that's what kept them.
By breeders, you mean they had children?
Yeah, they had the white children.
They had white children for the plantation owner,
yeah,
on both sides?
Yeah.
I see.
And some of them inherited property from their
because of the white farmer, they got the property.
Yeah.
I see. And you know that to be true on both sides.
Yeah.
And you were telling me in the car on the way over something about one of your grandparents who was an Indian.
My grandfather.
Uh-huh.
Will Perry Sr. was an Indian. Black as he could be. His hair and his face was all the same color. The only thing that you could tell about him was the white of his eyes. His hands were black. And he didn't talk like the rest of them.
Uh-huh.
He was a nice height. He wasn't too tall, and he wasn't too large.
Mm.
None of my parents were very large.
I'm sorry, you were telling me about your grandfather?
My grandfather was very black. Mm-hmm. His wife was very white. And at that time, they had a segregated part. The Lily White sat at the front of the church.
Now, by Lily White, you mean all the people who were real, all the white people in the area?
See, they were called Lily White. Those white people were white people. Then the others that were mixed blooded were called Lily White. They couldn't, and they didn't mix with us, and they couldn't mix with you all.
Oh, I see. So the Lily Whites couldn't really mix with the black, with the Negroes.
The Lily Whites tried to make servants out of the blacks.
Oh, I see. Huh.
And Seneca used to be buried with Lily White.
A lot of Lily Whites in some.
And they're more like you see people in Seneca now. You didn't see them when I was growing up.
Because there's so many of them were from white parents, white slave owners, so many years ago. And so you had a really large Lily White, what you call a Lily White plan. Lily White segment of the community. It's interesting. I don't think I've heard it put that way before.
No, they don't.
Now they don't say that, huh?
They don't admire me saying it, but I say it.
Well, if you know that's true, I think that's fine that you told us.
We used to...
Well, what was the next connotation, then? If it was whites like myself and then Lily Whites, what were the next group called?
The blacks like
Then that. Blacks like you. Yeah. Okay. All right. Huh.
So we were pushed back.
Okay.
You had to have the ambition enough to push in.
Right. To push yourself forward so that you could get somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they tried to bury you.
Oh, okay.
In a way, they wouldn't... They take them up. They did more harm to us than you all did, in a way.
By pushing you down instead of the whites, really, according to what you said about Mr. Gentilette, seemed to give you support and help.
Yes.
And you said you wanted to say something more about Mr. Gentilette, too.
Well, I want to say that she was painted a very good picture to my mother. She taught my mother how to take things and make them over.
Mm-hmm.
The first silk dress I ever wore was Miss Lula's dress made over.
My goodness.
And I was a child. She showed her how to take the men's clothes and make my brother's clothes. And my mother pressed their clothes just like better than the pressing clothes started out with.
Because she knew how to do it real well.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And so that meant a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
To us, and they didn't. They would send us meals, but they didn't send us scrapings. They didn't send us bony pieces of meat. When they sent us a plate, it was nice food placed on.
Mm-hmm. It was regular food. It was not the leftovers.
No, it wasn't the leftovers.
Uh huh.
And they gave us different things.
Things for the house, that kind of thing.
Silver.
Oh, my.
Somebody was asking me about talking about silver. I told them I'd been used to silver all my life. Miss Jennifer gave my daddy a box of silver for Christmas present.
Nice present.
Yeah.
That's funny.
We didn't have just anything.
Right. You were used to nice things.
Yes. And I went to Seneca Institute all the time except when I was in the 6th and 7th grade. And those were the two most miserable years of my life.
When you went to Seneca Institute?
When I went to the public school.
Oh.
The public school, it was just a house on a road between us and the public school.
Because
the public school used to be there on the corner of Pine Street, where the two-story house was torn down.
We're going to get back to education in a little bit, and we'll go back. And I want you to tell me about that, and about going to Seneca Institute, and also about your unhappiness with those 2 years. So we'll be talking about school. I want to get back a little bit to the older members of your family and anything that they said about slavery. Can you remember anything that they might have said?
Well, they didn't talk too much about slavery because they weren't slaves.
Oh, that you mean you know your parents weren't and your grandparents hadn't been either.
Yeah.
It was everybody before them.
Yeah.
So they
didn't know much about it to talk.
Right.
They had enjoyed the freedom that people at that time could enjoy.
Already had. Did they talk about when the first one was freed or when you first became free? Anybody in your family?
I never did hear nobody in my family talk about
Canary Okay.
Springs. Because seeming that they were just a little ahead of the average person. I've heard their friends talk about it.
You think they were free before some of the other people were then? They Maybe wasn't even treated, before the war?
They wasn't treated like slaves.
Uh-huh. They weren't, I see. They weren't treated like slaves as long as some of the other people.
No.
Or do you think maybe it's because they might have been free before the Civil War?
Well,
You don't really know.
No, I don't know enough about that, but anyway.
But that's just the impression you had.
They didn't consider it so much. I know that they talked about they had to work on, but all that punishment and all that, I never heard them talk about that.
All the bad things associated with slavery, you didn't hear that?
No.
That part of it?
No, they didn't talk about that. They talk about going to prison. And one thing that they talked about that they did, said for instance that for this man is named Tom and the other man across the street was named Jim, well, maybe Tom killed his hog first. And the other man would tell him, say, go there and raise that smokehouse up and bring me some of them hams and say, you doesn't get caught. Because if you get caught, I'll whip you.
Oh.
And I told some people that's where the 11th commandment come in. I said we were taught to steal the hams, and if we got caught, you'd whip us. I said, so the slogan is, thou shalt not get caught.
That's the 11th commandment, thou shalt not get caught. I like that. That's good. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, do you remember any funerals in the... before I ask you about the funerals, and here's another question I want to ask you. Where are the older members of your family buried? Do you know where they might have been buried?
Well, some of them's buried, I guess it's in the Tupelo community.
Uh-huh. Are the graves marked?
The others, aren't buried in Jacksonville, Florida.
Uh-huh.
Elton, Georgia. Detroit. Sandusky.
A little bit all over then.
Yeah, just different places. Nobody have some one or two buried here in Seneca.
Well, something I want to ask you before we get on to funerals, which I was going to ask you next, and I just thought of it. What about names in the family? Did those names come from slave owners that they worked for, or did they give themselves names, or do you know anything about that? For instance, the name
Perry and
Everhard and Oglethorpe.
The Everhard, all that came from slavery.
All that came from slave,
yeah.
Being the slave owner.
Yeah.
And Oglethorpe, I would have thought so, too, because that's that's an old Georgia name.
I went to Oglethorpe and was talking about, that's where my people came.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady, she said, you don't say so. I said, oh, yeah. I said, Oglethorpe for the rich. She said, oh, yeah. You know, they've had the background.
Oh, yeah, the Oglethorpes are the founders of Georgia.
Yeah, when it comes to the background of things, I'm not ashamed of it.
Oh, no, because it goes back with a good name there. Now, do you remember anything about funerals in your family or community when you were little, going to any or hearing about them when people
died?
Well,
I attended them, and we had one aunt in the family that when any of them would pass, you could hear her hollering a mile.
Oh.
But she never did have time to do nothing for nobody.
She didn't do anything toward them,
No, she only hollered.
just hollered. She didn't help, in other words. She just carried on. What about any marriages or weddings that took place when you were little? Do you remember anything about them?
No, I never did. If any of them had any fancy weddings, I don't know anything about it. I know they married, but not the type of weddings they had, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's any kind of wedding that you remember, but you don't remember. Mm-hmm. And what about, what families were you related to by marriage? Now, for instance, your last name is Haynes now. Who did you marry?
I married a Haynes from Sumter, Virginia. little Charlestonian by blood, but we met in Sumter.
So you met in Sumter, South Carolina, and he's from the Charleston area.
Yeah.
So that's the name that you're related to. And you were telling me about your family. We were doing your family tree, and you said that you there were several children born to your mother and father, but were all stillborn. Is that right? Mm-hmm. About three girls and a boy, you thought, babies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, three girls and two boys, you thought. And then you came along on June 6, 1907, mm-hmm. and then you thought your brother Napoleon, you knew your brother Napoleon W. Perry was younger than you, right?
Yeah.
But you didn't know the year he was born. So your mother and father really had the two children then, because the others died.
Yeah.
And there was another son born after Napoleon, but also died as a baby. Okay, I just wanted to fill in on that background, because you were telling me about that on the family tree. Yeah. So that was a shame for your mother to have so many little children to die.
And the funny thing they said about, I was born with a twisted back.
Oh.
And my mother said she bathed me in water that was heated by the sun. And all the other children were, well, they must have been lighter than I. My brother was lighter than I. And they said when the little monkey come along, she lived.
Oh, gosh. The light ones died and the monkey lived, right?
Yeah. So it's always been a
kind of little family joke.
Yeah, it always was. Well, it was a nice one. It was nothing.
I think it's sweet.
That life, I say, yes, the monkey's on the vine. I say, you better move, too.
Well, listen, you must have had some strength because you made it and all the others did. That's great.
Didn't many of the children that were along with me, didn't many of them finish school much? The wealth was there. Which wasn't with us. We got a home, but we didn't try to reach out there and buy a whole lot of land and stuff to keep other people from it. See, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. I think everybody ought to have a space to put a house.
Now, does your family have any old photos that you could share with us?
Well, I'd have to look.
Okay. Well, if you come across them, let me know, because we have a woman that goes through those. All right, now we'll go back to, we'll get on really with the next group of questions, the economic profile. You talked about what your father did for a living. He worked for Mr. Janlet. And what did your mother do? Did she work for Mr. Janlet also?
She had the cotton patch.
She was the one with the cotton patch, right.
And she worked at the laundry.
Oh, she also worked at the... And then she was the one that could iron so well.
Yeah, well, she worked at the laundry. She ironed.
Which laundry was this? Was this a laundry?
King's Laundry.
Oh, King's Laundry. She did? There was a King's Laundry even back then that she worked for?
Yeah, well, it wasn't so far back. King's Laundry had come up since 1920.
Oh, this would be after 1920 that she worked for King's Laundry, not when you were little, before 1920.
No, when I was small, she worked in the field.
That was the kind of work she did then.
Washed and ironed.
Yes, ma'am. What did your grandparents do for a living? Either
they
set?
They were farmers.
All farmers, mother and farm, on your mother's side and your father's side.
Yeah, and they worked for white people, you know.
I was going to say, now, did they own their own homes or did they share crops?
Yeah, they bought their places even after I was large enough to know something about it.
My grandparents did.
On my daddy's side.
On your daddy's side, they worked for someone and then they bought the home.
Yeah. But on my mother's side, they got their home before I was born.
They already had their home.
Yeah.
And they actually owned their homes. Yeah. Now, did they own the places they farmed, or were they farming for someone?
Well, I guess they were farming for someone. I guess farming is what caused them to get a home also.
Yeah, by farming for white people.
But they did farm and they did have a home.
Right.
They all had home.
Do you know the names of any of the white farmers that they worked for?
No.
Did you or any of your older relatives ever have to leave the area to find work? Or did any of them go north, for instance?
the old one that didn't go nowhere. I'm the only one that's been the globetrotter.
You're the one that's gone. Now, where did you go?
Well, I worked so many different places because I began teaching Roscoe Teen.
Oh, you did? Now, did you teach in this area? Now, where did you go?
I taught in Pickens County mostly.
Mm-hmm.
I taught in O'Connor County. I guess about 3 terms after that.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you said none of your older relatives went anywhere. Did any of your family work for the railroad?
No.
Okay. And what kinds of jobs were open to black men back when you were a child that you know of?
Well, they had the dray that was the deliver food and stuff that people would go and buy.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're talking about it in a...
store, the people go to the store and buy food and they'd...
And the dray would come and deliver it to them.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, ma'am. It's sort of like a horse and carriage kind of way to deliver.
They had that.
Uh-huh.
That's the only outside boy. I had some relatives, some cousins that were ministers, things like that.
So mostly farmers, people that work for the dray, ministers. Uh-huh. And, What about women? What were some of the jobs open to women?